Amen. Father God, we come to you just to glorify your name, for you are the wonderful Most High, and we just give you all the, I'm going to say it the way I hear it in my heart, we just give you all the props for all that you are and everything that you've made us to be. And we just glorify you for our wonderful Savior. Thank you for the understanding that you've given us, and that you will continue to bring us about into even more of an understanding. And we bless you in the name of our wonderful Savior, Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. We're normally, in just our regular reading, what I mean by regular reading, reading through the scriptures, or just reading through the Bible, what I meant to say. Okay, now, I'll tell you, I just started all over with prayer and everything again. Father, I'll be coming to you just to glorify your wonderful name. We just thank you for bringing us into the wonderful understandings that that we have. We just bless you, and we look forward to the opportunity to understand even more. And we just thank you for our wonderful Savior who, through you, he has made, through him, you have made all things possible, and we bless you again. In his name we do pray, amen. We'll be coming from Proverbs chapter 20, and like I said, we'll move around a little bit on today, but that's just some things that I want to discuss and just get an understanding of. Proverbs 20, we'll start at verse 1, and then we'll move through these scriptures. But before I do, just continue to be in prayer that the will of Yah be done, you know, in all of our lives. You know, what I mean by that, just be in prayer, you know, in agreement for it. You know, because it's going to happen when we want it to or not. So, but my niece, Esther, she's, from what I'm understanding, I think she's still there, Tony.
I just talked to her. She's at home, but she says she can't see.
Okay. All right. That's all I want to know. So she's in the, she had been in the hospital, and so she had I think an ulcer or something like that, don't that order, and it has hindered her from being able to see. And so out of one eye, both.
Yeah.
Both. And so, you know, like I said, Yah's will is being done, and there's just some things that that even I have gone to our family about and just have warned them about some things. And so Yah is just doing some. He's just doing some things to bringing the word that he's revealing to us to pass. He's just bringing a lot of things to pass. Now, one thing is, that I had mentioned on Sunday is that there are I don't remember exactly how I said it, but I'll just say along the lines of what I had said, is that we were going to start seeing the manifestations of demonic activity more and more, and some things was going to start happening to make a clear separation of what belongs to Yah and what doesn't. And lately, or since then, is some things that had kind of started happening before I had mentioned it. Before I had mentioned it again, I'll say it that way, because I had said it once before, but I just kind of brought it up again Sunday. But Deion has been out, been out in different areas, and she said that there are people that's walking up to her, and they're saying, are you the pastor's wife, in reference to me, because these people know detailed things about us as far as you know, the ministry is concerned, even as far as family is concerned, you know, knowing how many, you know, children, you know, we have, and then where we came from on Sine Road, where, you know, the building that we own now. And it's just she's been running to different people who've been asking her these things, and she said she don't even recognize these people. I told her, well, that's just a manifestation of what I had talked about Sunday, whereas you're seeing these familiar spirits, because that's what I was dealing with along the time frame. From the perspective of reading the scripture in Matthew, we were talking about unclean spirits. Well, these familiar spirits and things like that are going to, again, start manifesting themselves more and more. And the more truth we come into, the more attention it's going to draw to us as a ministry. And so it is what it is. As of now, things that I have written and posted on Facebook, and even sending emails and things like that, that stuff is now spreading all over the world, and I'm getting feedback from these people who are asking questions from the United Kingdom, from France, from Canada. It was about five or six of them that I remember. New Zealand and places like this, where these people are starting to come into contact with our ministry. And so it's like Yah is sitting up the stage, and he's preparing, as he's preparing us, he's setting the stage for this gospel to be preached throughout all the world, you know, to bring in the return of our Savior. And so, because of that, just continue to be prayerful, you know. Obviously, our prayer is that the will of Yah be done, because that's what we want. And so just remember that. And there's a lot of things happening, even as far as the center, our community center in Honey Grove. It's bringing about a lot of attention for one reason or another. I got a person contacted me on last night and was asking could they have a revival, at the center, and I'm sitting here like, man, you know, y'all just gave me a wise way to put it, but I'm like, man, we ain't interested in no revival coming from somebody who don't understand the precept upon precept, line upon line, and got interest in that kind of stuff. And so I don't want to waste my time sitting down and listening to some stuff that's going to tab more. Well, just to try to tap the foundation by which superstructure by which Yah is building up on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So it would be a mockery to turn around and have a revival and allow someone else to go into the property that Yah gave us and to teach the word, so to speak. And the superstructure is not built on the foundation. It's just not happening. And then there are some a lot of things that's going on as far as people that have taken interest in the property for various reasons. We've done several posts on Facebook about, you know, the center in one fashion or another. Brent had posted some things, you know, about the video of his mom and he and I, you know, on stage, you know, rapping and just cutting up and things like that. And so it's bringing a lot of attention to our facility because a lot of people are looking at it. So people are starting to inquire more and more about it, you know, and like I said, I'm getting phone calls and things like that. But, you know, it's to be expected for where we're headed as a ministry. So just keep it lifting up in prayer. But Proverbs 20, one of the things that I did mention, I had written Yah had gave me a tribute to Brent's mom, and so I had written that tribute down and read it at the funeral and talked just a little bit about it, and then Brent's brother Jason had asked me to put it on Facebook, and I told him I thought it was a good idea, and so I did, and so more people read it. But within that tribute to his mom, to Brent's mom, Miss Leola, that we call Ernestine. in that tribute, one of the things that I said is that people, you know, have a lot of a difficult time understanding that Jesus did drink wine. You know, there's something that the scripture is clear about. Jesus was clear about it that he did, but because people cannot accept that as the case, you know, they'll try to come across from a traditional standpoint to conceal that fact, and so even in looking at Proverbs 20 verse 1, it brings about an understanding of some things. We may look at some different examples as far as that is concerned and just kind of go forward and get understanding. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says wine is a mocker. It says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, you are from a traditional standpoint. Again, it has always been pointed out that drinking wine or drinking anything that's intoxicating is a wrong thing to do. But the Bible doesn't say that. Even in this verse, it is letting us, it is giving us an understanding of a concept, but it's not criticizing the wine itself. It just tells what it does if we don't use wisdom with it. Okay, and so when you look at verse one again, when it says wine, obviously it is from the same perspective as intoxication. So it is letting us know that this wine, because you get some people that say, well, that, you know, the wine is different from the day. It had, you know, just grape, kind of like grape juice. No, it's intoxicating wine. Because when you look at the Hebrew meaning of it, it says intoxication or the implication of intoxication, letting you know that it's wine or in association with a wine bibber. So when Jesus made wine, turned the water into wine, he made intoxicating wine. That's what it was, okay? And so it says wine is a mocker. So when you look at it from a perspective of the word mocker, it pushes into the same concept or a concept that has to do with strong drink is raging, okay? And so I'm going to deal with mocker, and then I'm going to deal with raging. The word mocker means, in a nutshell, it says to scorn or to scoff. from a land, and what brings it about, it says, to scoff hence from the effort to pronounce a foreign language. And so it lets us know that there's something about wine that can put us in a position where our communication will change, or our communication can change if we don't operate in it from a perspective of wisdom. So it says, wine is a monk, a strong drink is raging. And when you look at the word raging, it says to make a loud, in other words, to make a loud sound. Okay? And so when you look at it from the perspective of it being a maca and a loud sound, it basically lets us know that if we're not careful about how we consume it, it'll put us in position where we'll be loud-mouthed and end up saying a whole bunch of stuff we ain't got no business saying. So it lets us know from verse 1 is that it's a maca, strong drink is raging. Then it has the colon there and said, whosoever is deceived whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In other words, if you know, and that's why a lot of times you run into someone who, you know, when they get intoxicated, it's like they get bold, they get loud, you know, can't whoop nothing but think they can whoop everything kind of deal. And so it's from that mindset that we're warned concerning what it can actually do. You know, it puts the individual in a position where as you know, deception is there or deceived, and when you look at the word deceived, it means sin through ignorance. Whosoever is deceived through ignorance is not wise. In other words, you know, a person that become loud mouth and saying all kinds of things that an individual wouldn't normally say, the scripture lets us know that wine can bring that kind of stuff out if we're not careful. That's why we you know, if we're going to do it, it should be done, you know, be done in moderation, whereby it doesn't bring about intoxication. So it's letting us know that when we do it from a perspective of getting intoxicated, it's going to open up the door for some foolishness to come out. Okay. Then it says the fear of the king is as a roaring of a lion. Whosoever provoketh him to anger sins against his own soul. And there are particular verses that I want to pull out here. And so there may be some that I won't comment on unless y'all ask me for an understanding, or if you want to make a comment on that particular verse. Okay, verse 3 says, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." Okay, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Everybody understand that? Okay, it is an honor. It makes good sense for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. In other words, you take somebody that got good sense, they'll try to stay away from things that's going to cause strife, confusion, and things like that. But then every fool will be looking to meddle in that. That's how you know you got a fool. A fool sit around and try to figure out something to cause strife and discord and things like that. Okay. Verse 4, the slugger will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. And these are some of the verses that I really want to deal with. Verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of man, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Okay, counsel in the man's mind, okay, counsel in the mind of a man is like deep waters, but it takes a man of understanding to draw out that counsel. There's information that could be available, but it takes a person of understanding to draw those things out.
I think a good definition for counsel is a person.
Right. It says, it also says advice, plan, purpose, truth. So when you look at a plan or purpose, or we just use those two words, it's purpose or plan in the mind of a man is like deep waters. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Go ahead.
I get the impression it's like, you know, it's almost like, and I guess I can use it, it's almost like from this perspective of, you know, what is the purpose, what is the person's purpose? And so that understanding is like deep waters, and it takes somebody with understanding to draw that out of that individual.
So are you saying because a person understands
where that person is coming from, they can move.
You said what?
I'm
trying to understand
what you're saying. It's not necessarily the case, because that man of understanding, I'm assuming, based on this, that understanding is from Yah. And so with that kind of understanding, you don't necessarily have to know that person's background, but you can still draw out that person's purpose. If that makes sense.
Okay, so when you look at it, let me get that. The best way to explain it, or at least a way to explain it, or the best way, at least a way to explain it, it's kind of like there are times when I will make a statement and be like, okay, I've been at some churches. I don't have it, that issue here, because it's like y'all have a mindset to want to constantly learn. Or come into an understanding of some things. But I have been in different settings where, and those of you who've been with me when I preached in other places, I would say sometimes that I'm only going to feed you according to how hungry you are. And I used to be like, if you don't pull nothing out of me, I'm not going to give you much of anything. And what I meant by that for making those statements is that I would say there is a well of information in me, but your hunger is the only thing that's going to pull within that well and draw out the well of information that's within me. In other words, y'all will cause me to have inside ideas and concepts based upon the hunger of those individuals to come into an understanding. So things that I understand, wells of information come up out of me because there's something about you guys that reach in and get that information out. There's something about your mindset that causes Yah to reach and pull out wells of information for me to release revelation. And so when you look at verse 5, it says, counseling the heart of man is like deep water. Plan, purpose, and the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. When you look at the word understanding, obviously it's wisdom, but it also points toward from a perspective of an argument. So it's not like an individual who is not seeking information can get it. That's what Proverbs is saying. Yeah, go ahead.
I guess I'm keep reading that scripture, that part of it, the counsel of a man's heart. But I guess I'm seeing it in another way, though.
Go ahead.
And I could be seeing it in the wrong way.
Go ahead.
Because it's like, does that mean, I don't want to say like you're actually counseling someone, but that's what keeps coming to mind to me. Like the person is talking to a person and he's drawing the deep inside of them out. I guess that's how I'm seeing it.
So go ahead.
Twofold. So I see both sides. So even from what you said, I see that side and I see the side that she's talking about too.
Uh-huh.
But I think it works both ways. So from the example that you gave, it's twofold, right? So I'm trying to think how to explain it. So I'm going to use it this way, even from the example that you gave. So in the example of you going to another church setting and you say, you know, you're only going to get as much out of me as you've hungered for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, though, a person with wisdom and understanding is going to get as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to do what's necessary to get as much as they can, right? But a person that's foolishness ain't going to drop, much.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the same token, a person with understanding will draw out the deep things is the best way I can put it. And it could be an example like what she gave if that person is an example of counseling, right? You can dig into a person and pull out all kinds of things to help them understand what...
But not really trying to... I'm not, like, saying, like, you're actually being a counselor, though. I guess my point of it is, like... The example I'll use is, like, over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
I was visiting a cousin that lives across the street, and there's stuff going on with her brother that she's having a hard time with, and she hadn't spoken to anybody. And her feelings start to come out, and... She's kind of like, how do I say it? She was wanting to know deep down on what she do. I mean, and basically I was like, well, what is God telling you? And she goes, well, he's telling me not to go see him. And I go, then that's your answer. But she kept trying to pull other information out of me, I guess. And it's like, she goes, but the other side told me I need to go down there. I go, but Vera, if you go down there, physically, you can die because if you get an infection. It's like, I don't know, that's how I'm kind of seeing it, and I might not be seeing it right.
So you're saying that...
She was able to tell me stuff she hadn't told anybody else about what she was feeling. Deep in her heart and all that other stuff.
Right, so they can apply to what you're saying because in a nutshell, you're basically saying that the plan of an individual, like the verse says, and I'll read it again, it says the plan or purpose the plan or purpose in the mind of man, it says it's like, but it's deep wells, deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And so when you look at it from that from the way that you're saying, it does have a right perspective to it, in that you were able to draw out some purpose of her that she would not have told or said to anybody else, but because you walking in a facet of understanding, you were able to draw those things deep within the wells of her mind, out of her. And so, yeah, it does have a perspective of it from what you just said. That does have a perspective to it. So.
And that is counseling. You may not see it as that.
Right.
But counseling is when you get counseling.
Right.
You don't have to be a licensed counselor to counsel people.
Right. Okay. So, we finished with that verse. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And I'll move on unless we want to deal with that. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scatters away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, verse 9, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. It just have some wise readings in here. But verse 10, because there are three verses that I really want to deal with. I should just went to those specific verses, but I just wanted to read through them. Verse 10 says, diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are like abominations to Jehovah. In other words, when you look at a balancing scale, if one of them is set to where it always levels out to another, the person who is trying to benefit underhandedly from it, that's what it means by diverse weights. And it just shows how, you know, back in the day when they would have scales that would measure certain amounts of food and things like that, and somebody would say, I want 5 pounds of 5 pounds of wheat or whatever. And if the person had to sit up to where it would look like you had 5 pounds, and in reality you had 3, kind of deal. That's a diverse weight, so to speak. Verse 11, even a child is known by his doing. Whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, this is another verse that I want to deal with. And I may just skip to those specific verses just to keep from having to read through all of these here. And that's what I'll do for the sake of time. Verse 12 says the hearing ear and the seeing eye, Jehovah has made even both of them. And it reminds me of just a cliche that I always use that basically says in a nutshell, if Yah don't allow us to see, then we can't see. And if he don't allow us to hear, then there's no way that we can hear. And so it really separates or brings us into a clear understanding how Yah is in control of everything. Especially when you look at it from the perspective of it. Again, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, Jehovah has made even both of them. And then the other one that I want to skip down to, I'm just going to skip down to these particular verses. You have something you want to say?
Go ahead. I mean, even in light of what you've always heard Christ say, he didn't have an ear, let him hear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's almost like y'all being all in control of that, it's almost like a secret code. I'm not saying it is, but it's like, at the same time, it is, right? Because even if you look at what Christ said, he said a lot of things, but if a person didn't have an ear to hear, then it was secret code, because they heard what he was saying, but they didn't understand. And it would just be like, you know, hearing another language. You hear what's said, but you can't comprehend what's being said.
Right.
And so that's why I think it's interesting for Jesus to say he didn't have ears and a hearing. Mm-hmm. He didn't hear it, says the hearing ear and the seeing eyes, because the Lord had made even both of them, right? So they're saying, unless you, I'm saying this, but if the Lord ain't made you to hear, you ain't going to hear.
And that's kind of where I really want to be. That's why I don't want to spend a lot of time reading these other verses, because I want to deal with that particular topic about to show how. And there are a couple of verses here that I want to show that, and this is one of them, to really show us how vital it is for us to understand how much Yah has control over circumstances. And there are some things that we'll look at in these verses that will even make it even more and more clearer. And we may come back up to verse 12 also. But I want to skip to verse 24. Verse 24 says, man's goings are of Jehovah. How can a man then understand his own way? when you look at verse 12, and then I just should have jumped just straight on them and spent a lot of time dealing with this, still letting a lot of time get away. But when you look at verse 12 and then verse 24, these are simple sayings somewhat, but they're very deep sayings. They're very deep saying to bring us about to bring us into the face of the one who really has control over all things. Because when you look at it from that perspective, and it says verse 24, it says a man goings are his steps are of Jehovah. How can a man then understand? Okay, how can a man then understand from a mindset? How can a man understand his own way? So, a lot of times you will have people that will say, "Well, man, I feel lost. I don't quite know what Yah is doing or what He want to do with me." You know, I've heard a lot of people make a lot of comments by saying, "Man, I'm seeking to, you know, I'm seeking to know what I'm supposed to be doing for Yah, or for, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. What is my purpose in life and different things like that." When you look at these two verses, it brings about a clear understanding that the only way to find that out is to connect to the source, because our every step on a daily basis has an order to it. And the thing about it is, you know, and I just want to read verse 24 again. It says, man's goings are of Jehovah. How can a man then understand his own way? How can we understand our own way or, you know, the course of our life when we're not the one who laid the course? And so it brings us into a understanding of how important it is to deal with some things, or to understand the things that we're dealing with from the perspective of the G race, that we don't come into an understanding of the course of life until we connect to the source that laid out the plan for that course of life. And all of us can be frustrated for whatever reason or another because we're sitting around saying, man, you know, everything I try to put my hand to, it just don't work. Or you know how the things we do, this don't work. Or, you know, I have these plans, man, I want to do it. He's saying to us, he said, okay, all the plans are of Yah. All the course, all the steps. Man's goings are of Jehovah. How can a man understand his own way? How can we understand our own way of life when we try to carry that thing out apart from Yah? That we'll never figure it out apart from Yah. We'll always be wondering or trying to figure out what we're supposed to do in life as long as we're trying to, you know, do that or figure it out apart from Yah. It's the only way to come into understanding of it. Okay? And so when you look at verse 12 and then you look at verse 24, man, it's like, okay, you came here or we came here what ago. We came see what we need to be seeing in order to even get on the path of where we're going unless we realize that he's the source. Y'all like, I'm the one to open up your ears and eyes to see. I'm the one to lay out the course, and you're not going to understand it unless you get it from me. And it really shows how mindful he is of each one of us to the point to where he lay out our course, our life course. And so it takes a trying to find the best word to put this. It takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of humility and acceptance to realize that the path that we have taken for whatever reason or another is something that Yah has allowed, orchestrated, whether good or bad, to bring us to a point of where we're supposed to be as far as life is concerned. You know, so you get a person that says, well, you know, if I had not experienced this, then, you know, if I had not experienced this, then I wouldn't have gone through that. Or if there are some things that I don't have to go through in order to come into an understanding of a certain thing. But when you look at how Yah does it, everything is laid out. Everything is set up for his glory, and we're following the path by which he set for us. And that understanding gives me a lot of confidence to know that everything I've gone through, whether good or bad, is something that was necessary in my course of life. And so I look at it from a perspective that I look at it from this perspective that nothing that has happened to me, whether good or bad, it was considered a waste. Because each thing that I've gone through, each step that I've taken, was something that brought me to the point to where I am now. Even the bad, all the hurtful things, you know, all the good things, everything that I look back on in my path of life, I can see that in one fashion or another that it was necessary to bring me to this point in my life. And I use this for an example. My father died when I was a teenager. And now that I look back on it, that was necessary for the path that I'm called to. Because my father living would have set me on a different path than what I am what I'm on now. There, in other words, there are things that was going on. You know, my father, you know, being a guy who founded six churches and things like that, you know, if I had started preaching, quite sure he would have got me involved in those ministries and things like that. And from a perspective of the traditional teaching of those ministries, I wouldn't be the person that I am now. And so his death, although it was a terrible thing from my perspective, it was things that was necessary as far as the path of my life was concerned. And I look back on it now, and I'm able to understand it and see or come full circle to the reason why these things were necessary. Why every step that I've taken, everything that I've gone through was necessary to bring me to the point of where I am now. The revelations that I have, the understandings that I have, the way that I see things, all those steps was necessary to bring something up out of me that was necessary. That was necessary as far as life is concerned. So man's goings are of Jehovah, his steps of Jehovah. How can a man I lost my place. How can a man then understand his own life? How can we sit down and understand what our purpose is without getting connected to the source? And that's the reason why so many people are disappointed or frustrated or whatever, for whatever reason or another, because they're seeking purpose in life, but don't understand that all of us have that working for us, whereas we're in the position of ourselves being ordered, being led. And it's vital for us to understand these things. Okay. Verse 27 is another one that I want to deal with, where it says the Spirit. So anytime you read the word Spirit, it obviously lets us know that it deals with the mind. So every time I read the word Spirit now, I just said mind. So the mind of man is the candle of Jehovah, searching all the inward parts of its belly. Now, when you look at things from the perspective of belly, it deals with the I wrote it down as the seat of the mental capacity. And so when you look at a man's belly, it's in association with his mind. And so when you deal with verse 27, and it says the mind of a man is the candle of Jehovah, searching all the inward parts of his belly. So when you look at the belly, it doesn't mean the stomach itself. It's just like the heart doesn't mean the heart.
So is the belly like the subconscious?
Yeah. It
the heart is like the conscious one.
It's kind of hard to separate, but yes, the way that you can put it. And so anytime you look at belly, that's associated with the spirit or the mind of the man, it lets us know that our mind, because you know how the scripture says, out of the abundance of the mind, the heart, the mouth speaking. And so where Yah deal with us is like he said, okay, your mind is like a candle. And so Yah is like, regardless of what you do or what we do in life, he's saying the mind is the candle that reveals what's in the belly, or the seed, or the subconscious, the seed of your mental capacity. Yah is saying whatever is going on with our mind, regardless of what he's doing. Y'all say, I look on the mind because it lights up everything. It lights up the whole inward part of your mental thinking. So whatever is going on in our mind, that is the determining factor on how Yah is dealing with us or is going to deal with us. Because when you look at it, none of us is perfect, but at the same time, it is the mind of a man that Yah looks at, to make determinations or to identify if that individual is something that is of a pure mind, of a pure heart. Okay, there are a lot of things that go on in our mind, but Yah is saying to us in a nutshell that that's what he looks at in order to tell what's really going on with us. So it doesn't matter because you get a lot of people that are trying to, you know, especially if we understand that faith is an action word, you get a lot of people that are trying to do things as far as action is concerned. But Yah is like, I deal with y'all a little bit different from a perspective of what you understand about faith. He said, I deal with you from a perspective of your mind. So I look at a person's mind to determine the state that they're in. How can I put this? When it comes down to faith, as James chapter 2 says, faith is an action word. And so you can show a person that you have faith by your action, but it don't work that way with Yah. Yah said, a minute we think, it lights up everything about our mental capacity. So Yah said, I deal with you based upon how you think instead of based upon your action. I know your action can show that you walking by faith, but Yah said, when I deal with you, he said, I deal with you from a perspective of your mind. And regardless of what you do, we can all be sitting up in here. We're all sitting up in here in training school right now. But Yah said, yeah, but it's your mind that I'm really making a determination if you want to be here or not. So we'll sit here and we'll be here in the class, so to speak, in conference call or whatever. And Yah is like, yeah, but it's your mind that's lighting you up. Let me know how you really think. It reveals the mental capacity of an individual. So our actions don't prove nothing with Yah when it comes down to this concept. Because like I said, all of us are sitting here looking like we're part of it, and all of us may be, I'm just using it as an example. We're all sitting here looking like we're part of it, but Yah is like the mind is what lights it up and makes a determination. It reveals everything that's going on in your whole being, your whole mindset, your whole state of mind. And that's why he says it now, the spirit of a man is the candle of Jehovah, searching all the inward part of the business, searching all the inward part of the seat of our mental capacity. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, what Yah is saying, okay, when that mind turns on, it lights up everything about us, and I'm able to make a determination on how you or we are based upon that mindset. So when we look at it from that standpoint, we're completely naked, so to speak, before Yah. Because this is the area by which he looks and he deals with us, and he makes judgments on us from that perspective. And so, you know, I can be acting a fool on one hand, but then my mindset is what's the determining factor of how Yah is searching me out. They know exactly what's going on with it. That's why a lot of time I just go to them and say, Well, yeah, you know what's going on. Heck, I can't. And he used me trying to say the difference, you know. I mean, one time he told me, he was like, he was confronting me about something. And he was like, you're mad. And I was like, well, no, I'm not mad. Then I realized who I was talking to. You know, I'm like, okay, here I am saying to y'all that I'm not mad. And here he's saying to me that I'm mad is because my state of mind has lit up the circumstance and ain't no way I can hide it. So I had to adjust myself and say, okay, well, you know, I didn't think I was mad, but since you said that I am, I have to be mad because you know more about me than myself. And so if you're classifying me as somebody that's being angry, then there's something going on in my state of mind that makes you see me for what I am for you to make that determination. And so again, the spirit of the man is the candle of Jehovah, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And then verse 30 is another one that deals with the belly also. And so it says the blueness, so when you look at the blueness, it's a bruise, the black and blueness, so to speak. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. Then it says, so do strife the inward parts of the belly. So looking at that based upon verse 27.
What do you mean by
stripes? Yeah. And also the bruises of the blueness of the wound is the same thing. So when you look at that from the perspective of the belly, what is that implying? What does it give the impression that it's implying? The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. So does stripes the inward parts of the belly.
Correction
cleans out jacked up
thinking.
And you said who
now? I said correction clears out jacked up thinking.
You're in the vein of understanding correctly, but from the blueness of the wound and the stripes, what type of correction is it in blind?
Yeah.
Right. In a nutshell, it's letting us know that there comes a time when an individual refuses, because there are other verses that deal with things from a perspective of wisdom, and so it brings about an understanding that sometimes the physical dealing with of an individual is what takes away the evil, because when you deal with the perspective of evil, it's dealing with the seat of a person's mind. So it's saying in a nutshell, because there are other passages in Proverbs, we may not get to go there. The other passage in Proverbs that says, if a man, in a nutshell, take heed to godly counsel, or take heed to instructions, then that individual is wise or walk in understanding. Well, this here is talking about the other individual where it's saying, okay, if a person is going to operate in evil and refuse refuse to accept wisdom or counsel and understanding, we dealt with in other verses, then it said, then one way to deal with it is through, I just use it as far as a child is concerned. In order to get evil out of a child, sometimes you need to take out and put some stripes on it.
So,
go ahead.
So by association, that why we as a people go through all the physical stuff that we do?
Exactly. And that's a very good point, because when you look at all the things that's going on with us as far as, I mean, when you finish, you have something else you want to add?
No, I mean, along those lines. So, I mean, it's dealing with it here, but I'm just thinking about it. Okay, if that's the way EBI operates, then, you know, obviously we ain't lining up. So what we're doing is evil. So he's steadily letting the head get beat out of us. I guess to the point maybe we can heal and get it right.
Because what it points out, and these are the things that I wanted to deal with specifically those four verses to bring us to an understanding of some things, because I wanna take the point that Alan has made and to grab those other three verses really that we really wanted to concentrate on to bring us into that understanding. Because when you look at the way things are, he's letting us know that, okay, there's something about, verse 24, there's something about our mindset as a people that causes Yah to say, okay, I know you're in church. And I'm just saying this from that perspective of dealing with all of our nation. I know you're in church, But there's something going on with your way of thinking that has a circumstance lit. Whereas I'm seeing some things that's going on with your subconscious, and since these things are not hidden before me, and I can't get you to just walk in wisdom and understanding. I should have pulled that other verse out too. To walk in wisdom and understanding, then I'll allow evil to happen and wounds and strife to happen to bring about that same result. Because either way it goes, Yah is saying, okay, a wise man operates in understanding and receives counsel. But he says in a nutshell that a fool does the opposite. So when you look at verse 30, that's dealing with a fool. Because Yah is letting us know in all these verses leading up to that when you go back up and time is kind of passing. And so when you look at verse 12, it says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, Jehovah has made even both of them. Yah is like, okay, I got control. Then you get down to... I think the next verse we dealt with was 24. Man's goings of Jehovah. How can a man then understand his own way? Now, take the point that Alan just mentioned. When you look at the things that's happening to us as a nation, y'all like, you ain't gonna never understand. How can a man understand his goings if you don't realize that the goings I got going, you know, they're my going that I have you going, so to speak. They're my steps that I have you walking in. And so when you get to verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of Jehovah. He's letting us know step by step. Okay, there are some things that I want you to understand about you can't see or you can't hear unless I give you the capacity to do it. Then you have to understand that the steps are ordered. Your goings of me, you can't understand it. How can a man understand his own life? He's letting us know that he got control of our life. Then we continue to go on down through these verses. What was the next one we dealt with? 24 and then 30, it says, the blueness of a wound cleans away evil. 27. Yeah, the spirit of the man is the candle of Jehovah, searching out the inward part. Yah is like, I'm constantly searching out the hearts of people. And so things happen, you know, even thinking about my niece even on the day. Things happen because Yah is like, okay, I'm searching the heart. And since I can't reach you through other means, I got a way to sit you down. I got a way to sit you down. I got ways, you know, and I'm glad Alan said it. I got ways to turn my people from evil. I know how to do it. And so when you look at it from these perspectives, he's letting us know that if we operate in wisdom, because that's what Proverbs mainly deal with, if we operate in wisdom, then it puts us in position where whereby a lot of these things can be easy. When we operate in foolishness, y'all say, oh, I got a way to deal with that belly still. Because remember, when you look at verse 27, it's dealing with the belly from the same perspective as it is verse 29. So he's saying on one perspective that you know, the mind is my candle, and it searches out the inward parts of the belly, the subconscious. I know what's going on with you all the time. So he's saying from a perspective of, I can take a person's mind and use it, I can take a person's mind who's willing to operate in godly counsel and wisdom, and I can use that individual. They don't have to go through all this stuff. He said, but on the other hand, he said, I'll take a person's mindset, and I'll use these evil things, these stripes and these bruises, to bring about the same mind change. Now you know, understand why I say everything that I've gone through has been hard to step. I've learned how to accept everything I've gone through because each thing was necessary to bring me to a point. Y'all was like, okay, I'll bring you to a point of understanding if you operate in wisdom, or I'll bring you to that same point of understanding if I have to beat you behind. Either way it goes, all of us have to understand that our steps are ordered, our goings are of Yah, whether good or bad. Our goings are of Yah. And when we see that, we can rest in Him and rest in the love that He has enough to say, I'm going to get it out of you either way. I'm going to get it out of you through wisdom and understanding, or like what Alan just said, I got a free spanking I can give you to get it out of me. Either way it goes, I'm going to get what I want. So all of us are able to look at what we've gone through, whether good or bad. I got a whooping on this week. Okay? So I can look at that whooping. I can look at that whooping that brought me to the same point that I would have gotten to if I just operated in wisdom. It works on each one of you the same way. Whatever you've experienced in life, whether good or bad, has brought you to this point. Y'all was like, bottom line, your steps are ordered, and I'm going to do whatever is necessary to get you to this point. That's why I say everything in life that's happened to me was for my benefit. My father's death was for my benefit. Everything that's going on in life is for my benefit. It was to bring me to a certain point in my life where I am right now. There's no other course. Y'all even told me that I was in prayer today, and y'all told me, he was like, I love you so much, I'm not going to never let you get off course. So in a nutshell, I got to understand, and I want to share it with y'all, I got to understand that, you know what, either I can get here in wisdom, I can get here with some knots inside my head, but either way it go, I'm getting here. It go for each one of you. All of our steps are ordered by Yah. Yah is like, I'm going to get you there whichever way I can. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to get you there from walking in full obedience to me on a daily basis. I'm going to get you through there. Through some bruises and some stripes. But bottom line, it's going to bring you to the man, the men, women, and children that I've called you to be. That's how important each one of you are to Yah. You're so important to the kingdom that He's not going to let you get off course, even if He has to whoop you or whoop me, or deal with each one of us in a way that's uncomfortable to bring us to that point. Because when you look at verse 27 and verse 30, it is the same belly. Yah said those the blueness, which signifies bruises that can cause a wound, whatever can cause a wound, whatever can cause physical strife, whatever, however way you want to look at it, whichever angle you want to take it. He said all those are designed to bring us to a specific point. I want to cleanse away the evil. I cleanse away the evil through obedience, wisdom, and understanding, and some of the other passages will reveal. I can go read some of them to you if you need me to. Or I can bring you to that same point of removing evil, but their bruises, their stripes, sickness, whatever, to bring us to that point of understanding. All of us gonna get to where we want to be. Where y'all want us to be. And so the sooner we learn that and adjust to that understanding and start walking, and like we've been dealing with from the perspective of the G-Ray, by saying, okay, y'all, what is it that you want to do with me? I don't even understand my own way. Give me one hand or one voice in conference call or one hand in here that can say, without a doubt, I know my whole path in life. How many of you can tell me what you know you're supposed to be doing tomorrow? All of us got a plan, but how many of us can actually say that plan is definite? That plan is something that Yah is doing with me on tomorrow. Okay? We can know that, but it takes us operating in wisdom and understanding with Yah on a daily basis. And so it's vital for us to understand it. You have anything else from that verse 30? And that's what it says. So I'll read it again, and then I'll just go ahead and stop here. It says, the blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. So do stripes, the inward parts of the belly. Now notice verse 27 talking about the inward parts of the belly too. Okay. And so as a people, Yah is dealing with us on a daily basis. And he's saying, okay, there's one way I got to cleanse this people. I got to clean you through bruises and stripes and things like that, because all you have to do as a nation is obey my law, statutes, and justice. So bottom line in a nutshell, if you don't remember anything else about the lesson tonight, just remember that Yah is going to get out of us what he wants. One way or another. You know, I was telling individuals there, I said, you know what I said? I said, I'd rather Yah deal with me than to put me in the hands of my enemies. I'd rather experience the chastisement of Yah than for Yah to put me in the hands of my enemies. Now that don't necessarily mean it's a comfortable place to be, but if I gotta get dealt with, I'd rather be out to deal with me than my enemy. Cause I always tell myself, okay, you know, when you deal with me, just remember me according to your loving kindness, because I know you gotta deal with me. Okay, judge me according to your loving kindness, y'all, to your mercy. But I'd rather y'all deal with me than my enemy, you know. And so when you look at some things that we've dealt with in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, we was talking about the curses and the lessons. Those curses are villains. Those are enemies. God, you don't want those kind of enemies dealing with us. I don't want sickness to deal with me. I don't want disease to deal with me. I don't want all these enemies out there to deal with me. I want Yah to deal with me. I don't want to go through the blueness and blackness of life and the stripes of life, all because I want to do it my own way.
That brings more insight.
Go ahead. Just say whatever you feel, son. I want to hear it, whatever. Take your time and think about it. We ain't no here.
No, because I don't know if that train of thought is right. So I don't want
to. That's okay. Just say it is.
Say it. No, because what I was seeing was I want to go back.
Isaiah 53. Uh-huh. Oh, where's the strike for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm going to go there. Isaiah 53, which verse?
Verse that say that.
Okay. I read either verse 4 or 5. Probably verse 5 is the one you want. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised by our iniquity, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And when I think about that verse and looking at it from the perspective of Proverbs, because of the sin nature of man, or of the sin of mankind, Christ took on all the bruises and beatings on our behalf, so that we could have access to the Father, so we don't have to go through those things. And so when you see the things that we're dealing with now, as far as the nation is concerned. And it's amazing how you get a lot of people that will say that they believe in Jesus, but yet they're taking upon themselves the very thing that he died for, or he was bruised and received stripes for. So he was beaten blue and black, so to speak, and whooped with stripes and things like that. To give us the opportunity to walk in the wisdom and understanding, so that we don't have to go through those things. But yet, because of the state of mind of our nation, you know, through our foolishness and the evil thoughts that we have, we go through these things. So it's like the evil that we walk in. It's like taking everything that's been nailed to the cross, so to speak, and wearing it again. It's like we're choosing to wear that which Christ wore for us. It's like we choose to wear it based upon the disobedience and the evil, you know, doings that or thoughts that we have. We've taken up on it. And so I don't know if that was anything that would help you from the perspective of what you were thinking. That didn't help you out any on your train of thought.
I know what I was thinking, but what I'm saying is
just throw it out there. You know how we do. Just throw it out there and we'll deal with it, you know.
And that we feel, because we get knowledge. Mm-hmm. We come in here, we get knowledge. But I look at it like this. I deal with a whole lot of outside people because I consider family and friends. I have loved family and friends. My wife knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you steady telling a person you serve God in a certain way, because my friends look at me completely different now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't a person to say, oh, he go to Bible study on Wednesdays night. He go to church on Sundays.
But
I wasn't known for that.
Right.
And my friends look at me different now because I'm always expressing that.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't see. That's what they need. That's what they need to have.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Satan have our minds so blind that we can't even see in front of, why this keep happening to me? Why keep bumping my head? Why can't I get ahead?
Right.
They can't see that.
Mm-hmm.
But the knowledge that we have the wisdom of knowing because we get the teaching. We getting taught.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that conscience,
right,
that feeling of, if I walk like this and y'all don't like it, you know, that's not good.
And so what you're saying in a nutshell is that because of their lack of information, that they're having to go through the bruises and the stripes to bring them to the same point.
Right.
It's like they're complaining, but it's like they're complaining or they're coming to the realization that something is wrong. It's just that they haven't gotten to that point from knowledge. They've gotten to that point from the suffering.
Yep.
From it, and that's what's happening to people, and so the sooner we come into an understanding of verse 12 that we can't hear, you know, Proverbs 20 verse 12, that we can't see or we can't hear unless Yah gives that to us, or what was the other verse, 24, that our goings are of Jehovah. How can a man understand his own way? It's like everybody's seeking, trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening, why is this happening to us? And y'all is like, okay, if you realize that all of this knowledge is based in me, and it's easier to just get this knowledge and to receive it, like you're saying, from a perspective of information, but it's just that people are choosing to go, like what Alan said, through the bruises. And did it come to your ears?
No.
Okay.
Well, I know
go
what
ahead.
I'm gonna say, but I want to say something on this though.
But why keep getting beat? Why you gotta take a beating every time? Everything in life, you just take a beating and beating and beating. And like, man, come on, Big Bird.
So,
why does keep happening to me, Big Bird?
So when you put out,
why does keep happening to me, bro? What's up?
When you put all those verses together, it's like this. Your steps are ordered by Yah.
Uh-huh.
Whether you can hear or you can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
When you can't, whether you can hear or can't hear, or whether you can see and can't see. When you, and during that whole process, whether you can hear or you can't hear, Yah is looking at what's going on in your mind to bring you to a desired end.
Right.
So you can't hear and you can't see. You hit your head with all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what they don't want?
They don't want to turn to you.
And they don't want you to preach to them. They start getting that deaf ear. It's like you talking to them,
but that's why
they're not even trying to listen.
That's
because
why
you're going deep into scriptures, you're going deep into the Bible, but they're looking at you like, man, why is he doing all this? I don't want to hear all that. I'm going to hear all that mess.
But
they start trying to change the subject on me.
Right.
But as long as you listen to them,
you know. But you love your friends, you love your family, you keep trying because y'all say, don't give up.
Right.
Keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
Keep trying to reach them. Keep trying to reach them. That's what we're being taught. Keep trying to reach them. Keep trying to go out there and tell your friend, man, come on, bro. You've been bumping your head a million times, and you still ain't trying to get it. Because I tell you all the time, if it wasn't for God, I know I'd be I'd probably be in the graveyard. I know I would be in the graveyard. I'm not going to say that. If I didn't have Yah and God, I know what I'd be. I know this. I see it. You know? That's why, you know, me, I pray a whole lot, and I'm always seeking knowledge from Him. That's what I live for, that knowledge.
So what I was going to say before was, I mean, the scripture says, I mean, obviously in its context, the scripture, Isaiah 53 says, with His stripes we are healed, mm-hmm. which I think is interesting. We understand the context of that verse and what it applies, but I think it's interesting based on Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's another connotation to that, with His stripes we are healed, right?
Right.
So in the verse 30 gives the impression that, you know, delivering them stripes can get you healed too, as well as Christ taking them,
right.
You know, allowed us to be healed. But yeah, delivering them stripes can get us healed as well.
And that's what he's doing. Specifically with our nation, it's like he's saying, I'm gonna heal you through Christ. I'm going to heal you through your own bruises. I'm going to bring you as a nation, because we can't, our problem has been, or the church's problem, go ahead, if you have something.
Yeah, I just had a thought, right?
Go.
So, could it be this then? And I could be wrong, but I'm going to say this. You know how based on all the stuff we've been reading, when you look at what we're talking about, us as a people, and how the one guy, I forgot who he was, he jacked it up and messed it up for everybody.
Aiken.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Aiken did that, and then everybody had to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So could it be that at this stage in the game, for what it's worth, it's like based on what you just said, if we choose to line up, we don't have to endure none of them stripes because Christ endured.
Mm-hmm.
Even though our brethren is over here jacking it up, our goal is to get them to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily have to endure all of them stripes because Christ endured that. But for the ones who ain't lining up and ain't hearing or seeking Yah, then them stripes still come back around.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can be healed and get to where Yah wants all to be,
right.
As a people.
And that's exactly along the lines of what I was just going to say. And that's why I was going to say. Now remember what Alan just said. You see, the problem with the church is the church has made salvation an individual thing. That's the problem. And so when we look at it according to Yah's plan, salvation is not an individual thing. How you saved by yourself? That's why a people has to understand that they have to be saved, because their salvation brings about the salvation of the world. So when the scripture says, Yah so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that world is not talking about from a perspective of the whole world, because when you look at what that Son did when He got here, we dealt with that on Sunday, where He's telling the 12 disciples, go not the way of the Gentiles, don't go in the city of the Samaritans. He said, in the United, salvation belongs to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. When we as a nation experience salvation, then salvation will happen to all mankind. So I'm going to say this bold, and a lot of people may not agree with it, but it brings about the unity by which Yah want in the earth. Ain't nobody saved yet. Ain't nobody going to be saved until Israel saved. You got to hear that. You as an individual is not going to be saved, because people think it's just an issue of going to heaven. Like what Alan said, we may be delivered from some things, but when you look at the bruises that's being put on the rest of our people, it is an indictment on all of them. All of us start shaking a little bit when the police pull behind us. Why? Because one of us got beat upside the head. because of the evil that's within our nation. Same like what Alan mentioned, Achan's sin caused, Bible didn't say Achan's sin, the Bible said when Yah spoke to Moses, he said Israel has sinned. Or when he spoke to, was it Joshua? Israel has sinned. What's wrong, Josh? Israel has sinned. Because Achan took the accursed thing. When our nation start understanding that we're all in this thing together, and so, yeah, it's an individual thing from the perspective of Yah saying, if you operate in wisdom, then there are some things that's not going to happen to you. But to show you as a nation that you as a whole are not operating in wisdom, you're going to still see your loved ones, like what Brother-in-law just said. I'm preaching to me your loved one, trying to get them to change, and they don't want to hear it. And so Yah is bringing about these bruises. He's bringing about these issues. All of us can attest that we have loved ones that's going on, something is going on. But that those bruises and those stripes are as a result of them not taking the heed to some things. But you know what? It got all of us suffering too. Go ahead,
brother. This is the way I feel. I speak on the way I feel.
What you saying?
I speak on the way I feel. When I come to this little room, the knowledge that I may not speak a lot. I tell my wife that. I may not speak a lot, but I'm all ears. And guess what? I'm not just all ear. I'm all eyes too. And the most wonderful thing that comes out of this room is the knowledge that I'm getting from Yah. And the way Lon give it to me, it makes me want to go out and just tell everybody. I want to tell you. I got something to talk about. But everybody don't want to hear that talk. And it hurts because you want to give that knowledge. You want somebody to know. When you hear something so powerful and wonderful, you want to go out and tell people. That's why when me and Lon ride together, you know, when we got to talking and riding together, we always speak up on it. We meet people. We went to the Haberdash, met a man, Africa. Lon, before you know it, this man, he wanted to listen. Because you want to tell people. You want people to know the goodness that you're getting. You want to spread that goodness. And that's the thing I like to do. I like to spread my goodness to other people. To let them know, hey, what I'm getting is powerful. It's very powerful. And that's what I love. I love powerful things. I love knowledge. And most of all, I want everlasting life. So I'm listening. I may not comment, but I'm all ears. And that's what I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? And that's in a nutshell. And so I'm glad that we, you know, like I say, we're back up and ready and grab all those verses to bring us into that understanding. It's vital for us to understand that we can't see, we can't hear without Yah giving us that capability. Go ahead.
I got one more thing. So to me, it's like all of this stuff is bringing us back to the scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. It's like all of these stripes, the not being able to see, all of that's designed, even in the scriptures, saying, okay, you can't even see it, you can't even hear it, y'all don't give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all of this is designed to get us to humble ourselves and to turn and see Yah.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can do this thing like he called for way back with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going through all of this now. This stuff still got to happen. So whatever bruises and stuff is necessary that it's going to take to get us to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, that's what's got to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna read one scripture, and then I'm gonna close. It's in, and that's what I wanted to use with this, but I just didn't get a chance to do it. It's Proverbs 19, verse 21. Just to kind of tie it up in a bow. Proverbs 19:21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart, mind." Anytime you read the word heart, it's mind. There are many devices. When you look at these devices, It is the same way that Alan mentioned, purpose. There are many purpose. There are many plans. We as a nation, or even all mankind, everybody got their plan. But it's like there are many devices in a man's heart, in a man's mind. Nevertheless, the counsel, that word again, the plan. There are many purposes in a man's heart, but nevertheless, the plan of Jehovah, that shall stand. It don't matter what we're trying to do. All of us can have plans. They can be wonderful plans. They can be not so wonderful plans. All of us can have all these things. You take those verses, Proverbs, what was that, 20:12, what was it, help me out, son in law, 12:24, Proverbs 21, help me get 20, Proverbs 20:24, 27, and 30. Proverbs 20, verses 12, 24, 27, and 30. Take those four passages and then jump over to Proverbs 19 and 21, and you put it all together, it comes up into a nice bow. Y'all are saying, you can't do nothing without it. You can have wonderful plans. That's why I wanted to finish there. There are many purposes in man's heart. All of us got purpose in our heart. But y'all are saying, mine's the only one going to stand. Israel, you got all these ideas, nation. You got all these ideas. You have all these ideas. Y'all is like, mine's the only one going to work. And I'm going to get it out of you through wisdom and understanding. Like Proverbs teaches, you read all the Proverbs, just talking about wisdom and understanding. How wise men seek counsel, seek the plan of Yah. A wise man seek the plan of Yah. But it says a fool got his own way. Verse 21 confirms it. Every man got purpose and plan in his own lifespan. Y'all like, how you going to figure out your life? And I'm the one who ordered yourself. So that kind of leaves me dumbfounded and said, Lon, you need to go sit down somewhere and get on the same page with y'all. Because that's the only plan that matters. Nothing else matters. Because y'all saying, that's the only one going to stand. When it's all said and done, or even in the process, he's letting me know. I remember, you know, back in the day, I was a football player. I was a football player and I did it well. But y'all was like, that ain't my plan for you. So you in the wrong lane, and I'm going to give you some bruises and some knots on the side of your head, you know, that I still deal with on occasion, all because, you know, he said, that's the plan I'm using to get you where you're supposed to be. And still brought me to where I am now. So again, I read it, and I close. There are many purposes in a man's heart, mind. There are many purposes in a man's thought, his mind. Nevertheless, the counsel, the plan of Jehovah, that shall stand. So if his plan is the only one that's going to stand, and when you look at the word stand, it means endure. It means to make good. It means establish. Y'all like, my plan is the only one that stands. So that tells me we all need to make sure that we're on the same page with his plan, because nothing else really matters when it comes down to it. When our nation understand that and quit running around here trying to do our own thing and all this here, you know, and realize that we are the chosen people of Yah and he's going to get out of us. When we realize that plan, become the people who will humble ourselves and pray, then the whole world is going to be blessed. Salvation can only manifest at its fullness through our nation lining up with Yah's will for us, because we are the only one who can teach this thing in spirit and in truth. No Gentile can tell it like an Israelite who's awakened, because we are the priests of Exodus 19 that was commissioned to go be laymen to the world. So y'all is going back to where he started. He said, I need you to understand so that you can bring other people in to understand. Like what I was saying to you the other day, that I'm getting people contacting me from New Zealand, from France, from Canada, United Kingdom. It's about 7-8 countries where people are contacting me. Because y'all is saying, when Israel wake up, and see the truth and start teaching it, you know, I ain't sitting up there talking about, put your mind in the bucket so you can get your blessing. I'm saying turn to Yah and do everything he said so you can get your blessing. That's kingdom now. That's the Israelite who's awakened. Because you can put money in the bucket all you want to, but Yah be like, that ain't my plan. That ain't going to wake you up. That's not going to bless you. Turn to me. That's where your blessing is. Other than that, we're going to continue to be killed on the streets. We're going to continue to have bad things happen. Last thing, y'all, Kanye West, somebody had posted on Facebook about Kanye West had made a statement because a young, I guess Caucasian person called his wife the N-word lover. And so, you know, Kanye West kind of hothead, but he got some things going on with him. That's why y'all keep chastising and bruising him, because, you know, he done wrote a book and put his name in it, where it says, in the beginning was God, in the beginning was Kanye. He's crazy self. So y'all whooping him. But he's so frustrated, he's talking about moving out of the country, just buying him an island somewhere, because he don't want his daughter to be raised up in this type of racism. And so the mindset of people was, you know, it was kind of a little deal saying, do you want him to stay or go? And I'm looking at all these people said go. Obviously, you know who they are. All these Caucasian people saying go. And I just put interested.
You can run, but you can't
hide. Exactly. That's why I put interested. Because I looked at it from both perspectives, and I'm saying, okay, on one hand, this man is so tired of racism to the point to where he's willing to leave the country. Like Brother Law said, you can't run, you can run, but you can't hide. He's willing to leave the country, but heck, he's going to find a little Bushman over there and them dogs on that island going to make his way over there to the boat and say the same thing. Because that is the bruise, that's the byword in the proverb that Deuteronomy 28 said we would be called to bring about the manifestation that we are, of course.
I mean, even when we came over as a people, let's face it, the Indians came over, it ain't like you can run, even if you're over by yourself. Y'all can send somebody to you.
Exactly.
Where if you at?
He get on that island, be on there 5 minutes before you know it, a whole bunch of, you know, pirates come invade the whole island. Saying we found an inn over here, you know, the N-word over here, you know. And so, that's one thing we have to understand. The only thing that's going to get us out of this pickle as a nation is we have to turn to Yah. But I was fascinated with these Caucasian people who all of them were saying go, by the way. They were saying go, get out of here. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of interesting. That's how I put it. I just put interesting. And when I was speaking to them and speaking to Kanye and said, boy, you know, like brother-in-law said, you can run, but you can't hide. And at the same time, here you're, you know, you Caucasians so caught up into the fact that you would love to see us go, but do you really want us to go? Because when we go, y'all going to judge this place like you won't believe. The only reason why this country is still standing is because we here. They don't want us to go, trust me, for various reasons. So, and that's why they Pharaoh ain't want to let us go, so to speak. But I'm through. Yeah, we went almost two.
What about our Father's prayer? Forgive those that trespass against us.
Yep. Yeah, I mean that's, you know, we have to, and the only way that we really truly can is we have to realize that we are the problem. We are the problem, y'all. We are our own problem. And Yah's like, I'm going to bruise you, and I'm going to keep putting them stripes on you until that's in your belly. I know I'm touching my stomach, but I'm talking about the inner part of your being, your mind. That light keep turning on, and I see that it's corrupt. And I'm going to keep dealing with you as a people until I beat that evil out of you. And that's why the scripture says that he's going to bring us down to a impoverished nation. We're going to be brought down to poverty. It's not necessarily just saying from a financial standpoint, but he's going to bring us down so low that we as a nation are going to have no choice but to look to him as a source. He said, then I will get sin out of Israel. That's what he's doing to us. Okay. And so, in closing, let's just all be wise and seek him in spirit and in truth. Use wisdom, and although we're in this world, we don't have to be of this world, and we don't have to experience circumstances that's going to be happening to everybody else. We can be the remnant that doesn't experience all these terrible things, although, like what Brother Law said, it will hurt us because we're going to see some of our loved ones go that way. We're going to see some of our loved ones go that way, so you have to prepare your heart for that. Some of our loved ones are just not going to change, and we're going to see them, that evil be beaten out of them, or we're going to see them be taken out. It's just the scripture has to be fulfilled. All right. Any other questions, comments before I close? We're good? All right. Father, y'all, we just thank you for this lesson on today. And we kind of came at it in a long roundabout way. We finally got to the meat of what we need to be. And we just bless you for bringing us into, like my brother-in-law said, an understanding knowledge so that we can put it into action and walk in wisdom and understanding so that we can follow the path that you already laid out for us as a people. We bless you in the name of our wonderful Savior, Yehoshua. We do pray. Amen. All right.